Please do take a seat. This morning we're looking at Jesus' teaching on the only way to God. It's a critical subject. It's a matter of life and death. So do with me to John chapter 14 on page 1082 of the Church Bibles. There's space on the side back cover of your service papers to make notes on, and an outline of the sermon will appear on the screen and monitors. Well, let's get straight to the passage under my first heading: confused minds and troubled hearts. Confused minds and troubled hearts. Here in John's Gospel, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure, for his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. As he states in verse 2 of chapter 14, he's going to prepare a place for his disciples in his Father's house. In other words, heaven. But his disciples are confused and troubled. They're confused about where he's going and why they can't go with him at this point. Look at chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." In verse 5 of chapter 14, they're still confused both about the place where Jesus is going and also the way there. Jesus says to them in verse 4, "You know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Perhaps you're confused about who Jesus is, why he had to die, the way to God and to heaven. Or perhaps you're people who are confused about these crucial matters and you want to know how to help them. Certainly there's much confusion today about the way to God and therefore to heaven. Many people think there are many ways to God. All religions lead to God and therefore heaven, they say. Even some church leaders. Yet all religions are patently not the same. One church leader who was the warden of my theological college and who is now a bishop even declared that he personally believed that God would not exclude anyone from heaven because of his love. Yet Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew's Gospel that those without Christ will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous, in other words, those who are right with God through faith in Christ, to eternal life. That's Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. However, the vast majority of people I've asked in this country think that the way to God and to heaven is through good works. Although there is still no guarantee, they say. They say it depends on how good you are in this life. But the Bible makes it clear that we can never be good enough. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Isaiah 64 verse 6 says that all our righteous acts are as filthy rags. Cults try to deceive people into believing that they are the true way. Apparently the Moonies or the Unification Church are back in Newcastle. Their leader, the self-appointed Reverend Sung Young Moon, sees himself as the perfect Adam. So he must be obeyed without question. He claims that Jesus was the most important Adam between the original one and Moon, attaining spiritual perfection, but that Jesus was a flawed Messiah. Moon says that he is the reincarnation of Jesus, only more perfect. Please do not be brainwashed by their lies and confusions. Jesus said, "Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many." That's Mark chapter 13 and verse 6. So how can we know the way? The Jesus of the Bible, God the Son, says this in John 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to God and therefore to heaven. There is no confusion, no lies, and no deception in this verse, or in the one who uttered it. Look at it again. Jesus says, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we'll come back to why in a moment. But the disciples weren't just confused, they were also troubled. Their hearts were troubled because Jesus, whom they'd given up everything to follow, was going to leave them. Peter was also troubled because Jesus told him that he was going to disown him, not just once, but three times. That's John chapter 13 and verse 38. Perhaps your hearts are troubled this morning. You've come knowing that, like Peter, you've denied Jesus this week. And your heart is troubled. You're feeling guilty and you're lacking assurance. Many people today have troubled hearts and restless souls. It's been said by a leading psychiatrist that although the majority of people in this country are much better off than they've ever been before, there are also more people who are anxious and depressed than ever before. Plenty does not equal peace of mind. More teenagers and people in their 20s are taking illegal drugs and are binge drinking than ever before to calm their fears and to blot out the future. Now, you may not be depressed here this morning, but you do have what is known as spiritual heart disease. You may be lonely or fearful of being left. You may fear death. Many people fear death. The French philosopher Rousseau once said that he who pretends to face death without fear is a liar. You may be very ill. So how does Jesus bring comfort? What did he say to his disciples? And what does he say to us today? Well, that brings us to my second heading, the person who comforts us. Look at Jesus' words in verse 1. He says to all of us here this morning, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus addresses the disciples' troubled hearts and ours by urging them and us to have faith. Faith in God, faith also in him. In verse 27 of John chapter 14, Jesus says to those who trust in him, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Jesus' peace is real and present for those who trust in him. If you're here this morning still thinking through the Christian faith, Jesus says that the remedy to a troubled heart is faith in God and faith in him. Trust in God. Trust also in me, says Jesus. Who needs to do that for the first time this morning? You see, the antidote to a troubled heart is trust. Trust in God, trust in Jesus. And Jesus says he is God. He presents himself here unambiguously as the object of faith. For John, there is only one faith, and that is in Jesus and God at the same time. Do you believe and trust in Jesus Christ, God the Son, who is the only way to God the Father and to his Father's house. Sadly, well-known physicist Stephen Hawking doesn't. In his latest book, A Briefer History of Time, which apparently he wrote because very few could understand his first brief but rather dense history of time, Hawking says this: God may have originally decreed the laws of nature, but it appears that he has since left the universe and does not now intervene in it. But the truth is that God has intervened, and does, and will. The Son of God came from heaven to earth, became man, fully God and fully man, and obeyed God the Father by dying on a cross. Because of God's love for you and me, and because our sin, which separates us from God, could not just be swept under the carpet, Jesus was nailed to a wooden cross. And there he suffered and died in our place, taking the punishment we deserved for our sin. So if we believe and trust in him, we can be forgiven and have peace with God. Only Jesus, fully God and fully man, who committed no sin, could pay the price for our sin. Only Jesus can bring us to God. Only Jesus is the way to God and therefore to heaven. Because of our sin, there is no other way to God. No other religion, no amount of good works. Only by grace, through faith in Christ, can we be saved, and not by works, says Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Are you trusting in the only Saviour? Thirdly, the place he is preparing for believers. The place he's preparing for believers. Jesus Christ is the only way and therefore the only hope. He is the only sure hope in the face of death. There is no hope from non-Christian philosophies. And although other religions say something about the future, they offer no assurance. But Jesus offers real and certain hope to those who trust in him. And here he tells us that he has gone on through his own death to prepare a place for those who trust in him. Look at verses 2 and 3 of 14. Jesus says this: In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Heaven is my Father's house, says Jesus. Elsewhere, Jesus says, I go to my Father and your Father. Therefore, heaven is the home of Christ and of all true Christians. And it's a helpful and comforting picture. Home is the place where you are, or where you should be, loved for your own sake, and not for your gifts, material possessions, or your achievements. The place where you are, or again should be, loved to the end, never forgotten, and always welcome. In this world, believers are in a strange land, but one day we will be back home. And at home in our Father's house are many rooms, or eternal dwellings, or as the AV translates it, many mansions. But whatever the size of the room, what is clear here is that there will be room for all believers. For the strongest believer and for the weakest believer. Only unrepentant and defiant unbelievers will be shut out. So if any of us are thinking, does heaven really exist? Or my faith is too weak to get there? Then be encouraged by Jesus' words here. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Trust in him. And then Jesus says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. You see, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. A place which Christ himself has made ready for true Christians. And he's prepared it, not by vacuuming the room or by dusting the shelves, but by procuring a right for every sinner who believes to enter in. No one can stop those of us who trust him and say we have no business there. He's prepared it by going before us as our head and representative and taking possession of it for all true members of his body. He's prepared it by carrying the names of his followers with him as our high priest into the Holy of Holies and making angels ready to receive us. They that enter heaven will find that they are neither unknown nor unexpected. Yet those who trust in Jesus have a true friend in him while we're in this world and a true home when we die. Also, heaven is where Christ is. Have a look at verse 3. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus is coming again. He's coming as judge and to take those who trust in him to be with him in heaven. Will you trust him with your death before it's too late? Fourthly and finally, the person who is the only way. The person who is the only way. How do we get to the place where Jesus is? Maybe you're still not clear about the way there. The disciples weren't. But look at verse 6 again. Jesus says to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father and to heaven. As we sang earlier, there is no other way. The only way to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. But you might be asking, why should I accept what Jesus says? Why should I trust in him? Well, again, the answer is in verse 6. You see, Jesus is the only way to acceptance with God and heaven because he's the only one who really knows and can really show you the truth about God. And then he's the only one who can give you new life because he is the life. Why? Well, look at verses 7, 9, and 10 of John 14. Jesus says there these words, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The Father living in me is doing his work. Jesus is saying that he is God. He is God incarnate, God come in human form. And he, fully God and fully man, came to die on the cross to pay the price of our rebellion against God, and then rose from the dead so that we might have eternal life. That's why he's the way. That's why he's the truth. And that's why he's the life. None of the other founders of religions rose from the dead. Muhammad did not do that, and Buddha did not do that. The bones of Muhammad are in Medina. The bones of Buddha are in India. But in Jerusalem, there is the empty tomb. Jesus is alive. He holds the keys of death and Hades. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's a legend about a man caught in quicksand, which makes this important point. As the man struggled, sinking nearer to suffocation and to death, Confucius saw him and remarked, there is evidence that men should stay out of such places. The Buddha said, let that life be a lesson to the rest of the world. A humanist came by and said, you're not really sinking in quicksand. You're simply being influenced by outdated religious superstitions. Think positively and overcome your neurosis. Muhammad commented, alas, it is the will of Allah. A vicar arrived, saying, say these prayers and do your best to perform these rituals, and God might have mercy on you. A Hindu priest walked by and said, never mind, you'll return to earth in another form. Shirley MacLaine, the high priestess of the New Age, appeared and offered her verdict. You will soon truly be one with the universe. But then Jesus of Nazareth arrived and said to the man, give me your hand, my friend, and I will pull you out, for I am the way. We are all caught in the quicksand of sin and death. We cannot escape it. All religions don't lead in the same direction. None of the other people mentioned can help or rescue us from it. Only Jesus is God, come to earth to seek us out. Only Jesus died a death that deals with our fundamental problem of being cut off from God. Only Jesus has been through death himself and can therefore overcome it for us. Only Jesus can stretch out a hand and take us into the presence of the living God. Only he is the way, the truth, and the life, who can give us a secure future, a secure way to God, and a secure partnership, joining in his work as we wait to join him in his Father's house. No one comes to the Father except through him. And because that is the truth, surely we want others to know the way. And we can play our part in that, in the power of the Holy Spirit, through prayer, as Jesus says in verse 13, and in action, verse 12. So this week, will you be at the day of prayer? And in the power of the Spirit, will you stand up for Jesus rather than deny him? The promises are there for us in verses 12 through 14. For anyone who has faith in Jesus. Look at verses 12 and 13. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. You will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, as then the Holy Spirit would come. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Amen. And we're going to sing now of what God has done. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Let's stand and praise him together.